Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to the letter to the Philippians toward the end of the New Testament, the latter epistles, this one by the Apostle Paul. God willing, in the days to come, we'll be looking at this letter together, and I want to encourage you to read the entire letter through at some point in the next few days. Just start at the beginning and read all the way through, because that's the way these letters were originally intended. Okay? So sometime in the next few days, set aside a little bit of time, won't take you very long, to read Paul's letter to the church at Philippi, the letter to the Philippians. Okay? We're going to not just read it, we're going to study it, and therefore we're going to take it in pieces in the days to come. Starting in chapter 1, this is God's word. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God for every remembrance of you, always praying with joy for all of you in my prayers, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. I am sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Indeed, it is right for me to think this way about all of you, because I have you in my heart, and you are all partners with me in grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how deeply I miss all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And I pray this, that your love will keep on growing in knowledge and every kind of discernment, so that you may approve the things that are superior and may be pure and blameless in the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Now, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually advanced the gospel so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to everyone else that my imprisonment is because I am in Christ. Most of the brothers have gained confidence in the Lord from my imprisonment and dare even more to speak the word fearlessly. To be sure, some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. These preach out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. The others proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, thinking that they will cause me trouble in my imprisonment. What does it matter? Only that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is proclaimed, and in this I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, because I know this will lead to my salvation through your prayers and help from the Spirit of Jesus Christ. My eager expectation and hope is that I will not be ashamed about anything, but that now, as always, with all courage, Christ will be highly honored in my body, whether by life or by death. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Paul is in prison, and he is writing to the Philippians and saying, please get me out of here. Please do something. No, Paul is writing to encourage them. And one of the things that he says should encourage them is that God has already been using the fact that he is in prison to encourage others. Why would they be encouraged that he's in prison? They're not encouraged that he's in prison, but the fact that he is in prison and remaining faithful is providing them with the kind of courage that real Christians need. Now, a word about real Christians. Look at the opening of this letter. Paul and Timothy, not just Paul, but Paul and Timothy are writing together. The Holy Spirit has inspired their communication. Servants of Christ Jesus. This is a slave of Christ Jesus. To all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers and deacons. Now, what's a saint? Paul's writing to the saints in Philippi. A saint is someone who is holy. Well, yeah, so I mean, that would be like dead and canonized by the church, right? No. If you are in Christ Jesus, you are holy. You have been set apart by God. And the word Christian means not just a follower of Christ, but one who shares in the anointing. I know it'll shock some folks, but when you hear Jesus Christ, Christ was not his last name, okay? His mother wasn't Mrs. Christ, and Joseph, Mr. Christ, and they lived in a neighborhood with a mailbox that said Christ on the mailbox. That's not the way it works. Christ was a title that meant anointed. And the symbol in the Old Testament of oil being poured on the head of a king or someone else who was set apart for a special function, that was an anointing that represented the Holy Spirit being poured out on that individual. And God promised in the Old Covenant that there was going to be an anointed one who would come and bring salvation to his people. And Jesus is not just a Christ. There were other people in the Old Testament referred to as Christ. But Jesus wasn't just an anointed one. He was the anointed one that all the others were pointing to. Jesus, now, having paid the debt that we owed, having conquered death, and having ascended to the Father's right hand, has poured out his Spirit on his people so that we who are in Christ Jesus share in the anointing of Christ. And God the Holy Spirit has made us holy through Jesus Christ. We are set apart. We're not like the world. We're still in the world, but we're not of it. That is totally contrary to the mindset of tons of people in the church today. There are loads of people who really think that being a Christian simply means that you've been forgiven for your sins and that you will go to heaven when you die. Well, it does mean you've been forgiven for your sins. And it does mean that you'll go to heaven when you die. But that is far from all that it means. If you are a new creation, which is what Scripture calls you, if you are a Christian, then God himself has put his seal of ownership on you, and he is in the process of making you more and more like Jesus. Paul writes to these folks and he says, I'm confident that the one who began a good work in you we'll carry it on to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. You're a work in progress. I'm a work in progress. Paul will say later in this letter that he is a work in progress. He doesn't claim to have already achieved it. He doesn't claim to have already been made perfect, but he's pressing on to lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus laid hold of him.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Now, when he says to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are in Philippi, he's talking about people like us who belong to Jesus, but were living in Philippi at the time. Philippi was their temporary location. Their long-term residence is in the Father's house. So, it is to the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers and deacons. Now, I'm sorry, but as a pastor, I think that's a little bit humorous. Because wouldn't it go without saying? You know, you'd kind of think so, but see, Paul says, I'm writing not just to the overseers and deacons. They're not the saints, and the rest of you are just ordinary Christians. No. Ordinary Christians, if they're genuinely Christian, are saints. Holy ones, consecrated to God, set apart by him, eternally his. You are the body of Christ. And the overseers and deacons are included in that. I think that's a lovely way of putting it, and I believe there were probably some chuckles in Philippi when that was read. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is in a bad circumstance. Being in jail is not a desirable thing. I have only spent one night in jail. It was for praying on a sidewalk in Atlanta along with a bunch of other people right outside an abortion clinic back in the 1980s. And the police came along and arrested us and put us in the Fulton County Jail in Atlanta, Georgia. It was no fun. First of all, I still have nerve damage from the fact that they put the cuff on way too tight. It was one of those plastic ties, you know. They put it around and made it too tight so that my hand was changing colors. And one of the other officers, lower ranking, was trying to get her superior to let her loosen that because she could see that it was doing harm. And he refused. And we actually have that on tape. But we never did anything about it because I didn't want to distract from something more hideous by far, and that is the dismemberment and murder of children that took place day after day in the building right behind us. When I was arrested and put in jail, it was very, very clear that the government was trying hard to make it a miserable experience so that we wouldn't come back. Okay? They went out of their way to make us miserable. There were 50 of us in a room that was not this size and had one restroom. And it was men and women, and it was all day and all night. They arrested us in the morning, and I was one of the first ones to be bailed out at about 5:30 a.m. the next day. Now, why would they do that? Because prison's not supposed to be a happy place. Jail is not supposed to be fun. If they make it nice, you might want to come back. And there are actually people who do because they find imprisonment more comfortable and secure than what they face outside of jail. That's really tragic. But I'll tell you something. When Paul is writing from prison, it was a whole lot worse than the Atlanta jail. He was in circumstances, they didn't have one bathroom. But I mean, for instance, in Atlanta, they made sandwiches for us. They weren't very good sandwiches, but when you haven't eaten all day, you're hungry. So they made sandwiches for us, and they put them on trays, and they put them right outside the glass so that we could all see them. And they let them sit there in the hallway for about 2.5 hours. What's the deal? Well, that's just in case you weren't hungry before. Now you will be. Okay? It was just a mind game. Likewise, at about, 2 o'clock in the morning, they brought mattresses and stacked them outside. Now, they were just jail mattresses. They weren't nice mattresses. But there were people there who were trying to get some sleep on the concrete floor, and they waited until most of the people had gone to sleep on the concrete floor while the mattresses were stacked outside. Then they woke everybody up and let us have a mattress. Okay? It's just games. It's just trying to make sure you're not happy in jail. Well, let me tell you, if the Roman jails were anything like that mindset, and I know they were, Paul must have been a distressing inmate. Because they're trying to make sure you're not happy. And what was Paul? He was happy. Why? Well, I like sleeping on concrete. No. I love Jesus and Jesus loves me. And because of Jesus, I can rejoice wherever I am. And I'm not focused on my circumstances. I'm focused on the fact that God has brought salvation through Jesus Christ to all who believe. And the gospel, that good news, is spreading all over the world. So I'm rejoicing. That's what makes Paul happy. It's not his circumstances. And you know what? When that's the basis of your joy, nobody can take it from you. Nobody can take it from you. I give thanks to my God for every remembrance of you. He says, every time I remember you, I give thanks to God. Always praying with joy for all of you in my every prayer because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. He says, it's not just us who are out spreading the good news. It's us. Not just Timothy and me, but you are partners with us in it. Folks, it is a wonderful, joyful thing to realize that you can be a part of what is happening on the opposite side of the globe. You can have a hand in that. Through your prayers and through your gifts, you can strengthen those who are in Kenya, Uganda, Sri Lanka, China, all around the world, spreading the gospel. You can be a part of it. And Paul says the Philippians were a part of what he was doing. And he says, every time I think of you, I thank God because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I'm sure of this, verse 6, that he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Do you ever wonder if you're going to make it? Do you ever feel like, I know I got saved back there, but boy, I'm a little concerned about my progress. I'm not exactly, well, I don't feel like a saint. Pastor Wood says that the Bible says I am a saint, but I don't feel like it. Well, if you don't feel like it, that's okay. If you don't act like it, repent. Turn around. Stop doing the stuff you know you're not supposed to do. Is it okay to do that? Well, I know I shouldn't. Well, then don't. Well, but I really enjoy it. And, folks, the fact that something is enjoyable doesn't make it a good choice. Because if it is displeasing to the Lord, you are making a huge mistake. We pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Well, let's do his will. Well, sometimes I don't know what the right thing to do is. Well, ask him. Well, I don't know what he's saying. Well, are you reading his word to see? Well, not as much as I should. Well, then read it more. Well, I'm busy with other things. Well, do you think maybe you ought to drop some of the other things and spend more time studying God's word? Well, that would require a change in my plans. Well, change your plans. Okay? I mean, this is not complicated. Do what you know you ought to do. And if you're not sure what you ought to do, ask him. You're the sheep, he's the shepherd, he will guide you. If you want to do the will of God, he will do whatever it takes to make his will clear to you. Now, he says, I have some good news for you. I am absolutely confident that the God who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. The only reason I have confidence that I'm going to end up okay is because of Jesus. If it was counting on me, well, forget it. But Jesus didn't like that. He wouldn't do that. He wouldn't waste what he did on the cross by leaving the rest up to me. And so instead, he comes to fill me and live his life through me. And he is in the process of making me like him. And so even though I'm not there yet, I am being changed. And he has promised to get me across the finish line. Hallelujah. I am so glad that it doesn't depend on me. I'm sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Indeed, it's right for me to think this way about all of you because I have you in my heart. And you are all partners with me in grace, both in my imprisonment and the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how deeply I miss all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. It comforts me that the Apostle Paul was seeking to comfort and encourage them while he was in an uncomfortable situation. And part of what they found comforting was the fact that they were loved. Paul says to them, I love you, and I miss you, and I wish we could be together right now. By which I do not mean I wish you were here in prison. He's saying, I'd love to be there with you. I miss you. Paul says, God is my witness how deeply I miss all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And I pray this, that your love will keep on growing in knowledge and every kind of discernment, so that you may approve the things that are superior and may be pure and blameless in the day of Christ. That's the goal, your continued sanctification. Verse 11, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ so that everybody will see how great you are. I shouldn't have taken off my glasses, should I? Is that not what it says? No. What does it say? To the glory and praise of God. It is for his glory. It is for his honor. God is going to continue the work he's begun in you in order to make you like Jesus. That, folks, is good news.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.